It is not stupid to respect all living things. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today we are continuing our journey to Karate Kid Legends with our review of the next Karate Kid. And joining me here today, making his return to the dojo, Christian Ashley. Christian, welcome back.
Christian? My mother's name was Christian. She was killed in a car accident with my father, and they're both dead. So trying to bring them back.
A classic example of tell, don't show, which is not how that is supposed to work. of course, it's always good to have you, and a free man. And I mean that to say that recently graduated from grad school, right?
I got my MDiv. I have fully mastered divinity itself. Now, if I could only master the job search, Brandon knows the struggle will.
Oh, yeah, that is the hardest part. Honestly, that is really the hard part. Although we got to admit, Master of Divinity is the coolest named higher education degree.
Right.
That, as you said, you mastered divinity.
I've only used that joke like 50 times, and most of the time people laugh.
Yeah, and you just graduated. Like, it hasn't even been that long, so good for you to be able to use that joke so many times already. As I said here earlier, we're...
Run jokes in the ground.
Oh, yeah, that's what you gotta do. We're here today to talk about the next Karate Kid, starring Pat Morita and Chex Notes, Hilary Swank. She's in this movie. She's the star of this movie. And I told Christian just before we got started, I'm actually really excited to talk about this movie. Because here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up wisdom one slice at a time. But in the case of this movie also, Christian, I am here today to defend it a little bit. I truly think this might be my moment of a bad take. I really don't think this movie is that bad. I can imagine there in 1994, if you grew up watching the Karate Kid films in the 80s, that when you get to this movie, you're probably really disappointed. I will grant that. But pulling back now and seeing it as a whole franchise, I don't think this movie is that bad, honestly. It's not perfect. There's definitely plenty of flaws, as we have already pointed out. But I think this is a pretty good film. Christian, let's start there. What did you think of it just in general?
This is not a good movie. It's also not a bad movie. It's kind of the definition for me of a so bad it's good movie. Like, I can watch this alone and be entertained. If I watch this with you, like, I think we would have the time of our lives. Like,
sure.
What just happened? Is that how you deliver exposition? Not in any script writing school I've ever been into. But you know what? It's fine. What does this movie want to be? Is it a coming of age movie? Is it a martial arts movie? Is it a romance movie? Is it? It doesn't know. Is it a crime movie? It's fine. Is it an animal awareness movie? It is what it is. And
it is what it is.
Along the entire way.
So again, I'm just going to continue with my potentially very hot takes here. Maybe this is my Joshua Knoll moment, the king of bad takes. As of right now, at this point, I would rank these movies, The Karate Kid, Part 2, then the next Karate Kid, then Part 3. If I'm being honest, I really do think that The Karate Kid Part 3 is so 80s cheesy, it actually takes away from the movie itself. Especially, I know Terry Silver is like the ultimate big bad, but oh my gosh, he is such a mustache twirling cartoon villain in so much of that movie. And I agree, a lot of the issues within this film comes down to lines. Like, a lot of the lines in this movie and part of the delivery, especially when it comes to a very young Hilary Swank, there are issues. There's plenty of issues there. And do we need the monks bowling at a bowling alley? Probably not. Is it one of those moments that you and I are going to have a lot of fun together watching this movie? Absolutely. But I would, for me, with this franchise as it stands right now, those first two movies are far and above anything else. And spoiler alert for the next one in the lineup, it ain't coming close to those first two movies. I can promise you that. What about you? What do you think about kind of the franchise as it stands at this point?
Ranking them?
Yeah, if you were going to rank them, yeah.
I'd probably go 2-1-3 next.
2-1-3 next. So you actually are in that rare group of people who would say the sequel is better than the original.
Yeah. I mean, both are good movies in their own rights, but I think
they're very good.
The second film, which I was really wanting to hoping to be on, but you know, seminary took me away from Brandon. But now there's no excuse for that. I think it develops Miyagi a lot more, and it gives, you know, mm-hmm. Daniel a little bit more too. You know, him losing her as a girlfriend, that's on him. Whatever her name was. Like, how do you lose that? That's your fault.
Kimiko? Are you talking about Kimiko in the second one?
Yeah. But yeah, I think it develops them a lot better in the first one. Not to say the first one's bad in comparison. It's just, I think they do more in two.
Yes. Yeah. In the part three review just came out before this episode in real time. So you can hear, I have a lot of thoughts on this narrative structure of the original trilogy, but we'll keep that there. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure you do. It's me and TJ Blackwell from Systematic Ecology on that one. Trying to get a very, very well-rounded view on this series, best we can. So let's dive in then to the next Karate Kid. There are issues. One of them is this. It's one of those moments for me where, like, we have to keep things in perspective. It's 1994. So in 10 years, Hilary Swank is going to put on an Academy Award winning performance in Million Dollar Baby. At this time, though, she's done one other movie, and it was a supporting role in one of my all time favorite cult classic films, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Love that movie.
Yeah.
That is such a... Might have to jump over to Systematic Ecology and do that one come October. She's a little...
for your show. Martial arts?
Maybe. Taking. There is some. But she's very young, very green here in this movie. Her Bostonian accent comes and goes. The line delivery is a little rough. She's got a great smile, and you see it all throughout the movie. What else for you besides a very young Hilary Swank? You mentioned here the whole, this movie doesn't know what lane it is in. So work that out for me. You think this movie doesn't know what it is?
This movie is having an identity crisis, and I think it'd be more fitting in modern times because there'd be more people supportive of it in that scenario. But for where it is, number one, I think Hilary Swank and Pat Morita are acting their hearts out. Like, she's figuring things out. Yeah, she looks, you know, she's a little goofy, trying to figure things out from the acting standpoint and from a character standpoint. He's having a time of his life, I think. Just, you know, he gets paid to do this. But as far as the structure of the movie itself, it's this very weird hodgepodge of a lot of different ideas. They were just, oh, what sticks? Well, what if we said everything stuck? And even if it doesn't, we're going to make that movie. So we've got this classic high school scenario here where, you know, girl falls for guy falls for girl. Well, girl's also nursing Hawk back to life after the Hawk has been injured and can't fly. Girl is also suffering from loss of family. In a very
because her parents died in a car accident. Stop trying to bring them back. And
the grandmother calls her Susan, which, by the way, isn't her actual daughter's name. It's her daughter-in-law. So you would think that if you were writing this movie, you would actually make her the parent of the daughter who died and not the son, if she's going to call the granddaughter the name of the mother, which I'm sure you can finagle yourself there, but it's just, you stop and go, wait a minute, what happened there? And then you've also got this security team of students that are like, are they hired? Is this like an after-school club that they're involved with of making sure the school is kept safe through all this? I don't know what they're trying to do with that. You've also got the what's his name from 3, bad guy.
Oh, the bad guy. The main dude. I can't think of his name. Yeah. A colonel. I don't know his name.
From 3.
Terry Silver.
It's Terry Silver, yeah. It's like him, but worse. Like, Terry Silver is kind of like who Steven Seagal actually is as a person.
Even with the ponytail, too.
Right? This guy is like every stereotype about an army, ex-army guy teaching students now, wrapped into one film. And you've got the better parts of the film for me are when they're, you know, at the monastery and she's learning from them. And they're, having fun, but also like there's a reason behind why we're, you know, throwing these sandbags at you. It's like there's an actual purpose. We're not just trying to hurt you, even though it is funny.
Yeah.
Like, so that's nice. But then it goes to almost the boyfriend's movie for a little bit where he confronts everyone. And now it's suddenly her movie again, where she's the one confronting the guy who, by the way, also we've had a scene where multiple guys are chasing her in a building. If this were written right now, there would be a lot more kind of put that way of, oh, this is a really bad thing. And the cops, if she had said anything, would have taken them to jail. You know, versus, I don't know if this was a boys will be boys argument or if they weren't actually thinking things through. Either way, it sucks.
Either way, it sucks. I like that conclusion.
And of course, you've got the grand time they're having, you know, the monks being introduced to modern society, having fun bowling. They make friends with the guy who's like the huge jerk you expect them to actually fight. But no, they become friends, teach them how to bowl blind. You know, that was fun. Did make narrative sense? Not so much, but you know what? It's fine. You know, life has all these filler moments every now and then. It's okay to include them. You get the final confrontation and the guys all turn and it's all over the place. This is a bonkers movie. It's a fun movie. And I'm okay with that. It's never going to be a top 100 list, or it's not going to be a top 500 list of films I've ever watched, but it's going to be on the list and it's not going to be near the bottom.
It might not even be a top 100 movies of 1994, if we're honest. Well, 100, maybe. It might get on 100. I mean, The Mask came out in The Mask, Dumber and Dumber, and I lost one more. What's the other one? Oh, Ace Ventura. All three of those like iconic Jim Carrey movies came out that year. So like, kind of hard to compete. So I do want to go back to one thing you said. You know, we talked about the difficulty. Hilary Swank is figuring it out as she goes, both as a character and as an actress. Pat Morita does not have a bad performance in any of the movies he is in. He was nominated. I forget. I think it's for the second one. He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. And rightfully so with that second one. But no complaints, no notes when it comes to Mr. Miyagi. And I agree that it is a bit all over the place. I would say of all the different genre types, the coming of age story, like you get in the original Karate Kid, definitely does not. It is not really hitting that mark even remotely closely. Here's why I think, though, it is still a good installment in the Karate Kid franchise. And it's because even if the execution at times wasn't the best, it does check a lot of the boxes by way of Karate Kid tropes and even world building. For all of the complaints that we can have on this movie doesn't know what lane it's in, it does a good amount of world building. You know, we not only do we find out Mr. Miyagi's first name, that happened. We find out this interesting backstory of during World War II, Miyagi was saved by this individual in during combat as a way to thank him. Miyagi taught him karate. That man taught his son, and his son taught his daughter, who is Hilary Swank's character. And now you have this full circle moment where Miyagi is going to properly, I guess you can't say properly, but fully teach her now Miyagi-Do karate. That's pretty good. I think that is actually a pretty, it's not just, and here's another kid that's going to come live with Mr. Miyagi. Like, there is actually like kind of a well thought out like train to get to this point. There's already like a legacy thing going on here. And I like that a lot. You also have all of these movies, at least, let me say this, in the original trilogy, the focus, like life lesson, I guess you could say, that keeps coming up is this whole overcoming fear and anger being a destructive force. And that is definitely present, especially the anger as a destructive force. That is definitely present here in the next Karate Kid, as Hilary Swank is a angsty 90s teenager. This movie is so 90s, and that's fine because the original trilogy was very 80s. This movie is so 90s. It's so 90s. Her wardrobe is now popular fashion now. But she's an angsty teenager who has never quite processed her grief of her parents dying in a car accident. Stop trying to bring them back. And so she is learning kind of this like softer approach to life through her training with Miyagi and this, I don't know if they ever necessarily say if this is a Buddhist, if they said specifically, like if this is Buddhism, Shintoism, whatever, they may have not have honestly spent that much time to figure that part out. But
I would guess Buddhist, given the teachings.
Okay. So some kind of Buddhist Zen temple, like to learn a simpler way of life. And even, I agree, the whole military jack-offs trying to like pretend that they're in the military student thing, whatever that is.
And it's the Air Force too. It's for the Air Force.
Is it for the Chair Force? I didn't even catch that part.
It's for the, yeah, he says, you leave here, I'm not giving you the recommendation for the Air Force. And I busted out laughing. I could not.
The Air Force?
Like, yeah, Air Force, they have to do some work. I'm not trying to not knock them. Like, but all this for the Air Force?
Yeah. Yeah. All that for the Air Force. I missed that part. But I thought that was still, it's cheesy. It is extremely cheesy. But I still thought that was a pretty good way to introduce not just Cobra Kai East Coast. I liked how the boyfriend was a part of that group, but saw through the facade and left. I liked how the bad guy is still, we didn't have these terms in the 80s and the 90s, but is the bad guy, the Colonel dude, is still this continuation of this toxic masculinity making a negative impact on male youth. Like, that is still present. So to me, this film, as quirky as it is, does continue to check a lot of the boxes for what makes a movie a Karate Kid film. Other than, and I want your thoughts on this, Christian, there is no central technique. In the original trilogy, you had the crane kick, the drum movement, and the Miyagi-Do family kata. There's not necessarily like a central technique here that is being taught. Even the wax on, wax off is just kind of peppered in as like a callback or they're at the end of the movie when Miyagi has the showdown with the colonel. We get the callback to his confrontation with John Kreese when he pulls back and he looks like he's going to like end the fight. And then he just blows in the guy's face. Is it detrimental, the fact that there is not a central technique that she is trying to learn?
I push back a little bit because I think there is one, and it's the mantis style kind of kick that, you know,
she uses
from jumping from the Japan rock to the Okinawa rock. And then at the very end, she uses it, and it's pretty much kind of like the first film. It's like, is that kick kind of like, number one, is it legal? Number two, is it like something you can perform without being blocked immediately?
Sure.
Just suspend your disbelief for a little bit. So I think there is one she actually learns, but it's not as iconic, shall we say, as the other three.
Sure. And I have roasted the crane kick, and I still will continue to roast the crane kick. But seriously, doing the Miyagi family kata at the end of the third movie during a tournament fight is still the more unbelievable thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
They do. Favorite part of the movie, and I'm absolutely going to go do this now. Whether this episode goes over the 30-minute mark or not, the scene where it gets overshadowed by the fact that like the monks come in and they start dancing, but when she is doing her kata to the song Dreams by the Cranberries, that was a cool visual. She's like squared up in the middle of the shot. The song is like oddly perfect. Who would have thought that the Cranberries had a song that would be oddly perfect? I loved it. It's so quick too. And you only get like a little bit of this kata she knows. But I was like, that is a really cool shot in this movie.
That's a good one, because I enjoy that scene a lot, in getting the monks to come in and spend time with her, you know, to show that, you know, everything's okay with us now. You know, you're learning. This is how you're showing that you're learning. We can join you in this. We're not going to, just because we're asking you to embrace our culture doesn't mean we're going to have you deny yours. And this is part of youth culture at that time, is to listen to songs like this and dance along to them. So that worked perfectly for me. I'm actually also going to choose a scene that had dancing. And that is where, I don't know if you're keeping this in, but the viewers couldn't see what I saw. You have a producer, Cooper, decided to join in on the fun and try and steal his daddy's headphones. But I'm going to choose a scene where, you know, they're in her house and Miyagi says, I'm going to teach you this new technique. And they move the furniture aside. And it's built up to where, like, oh, they're going to learn a new fighting technique. And then it goes, because she had earlier said, I don't know how to dance. What if they ask me to waltz? I don't know how to waltz. And then he teaches her how to do that. It's a very sweet moment that is also, I trust the scene because I know who Mr. Miyagi is. But I couldn't help but notice that the window is open, so anyone could see that. And everyone in the neighborhood, where's her mom at? Oh, she just abandoned her, so leave Mr. Miyagi there to help her out, and she's at Miyagi's house, number one. Number two, there's this strange guy dancing with the daughter of the house. The mom's nowhere to be seen. So I can only imagine what that looks like to an outsider. Me, as someone in the know, is perfectly fine, but I also couldn't help but imagine what could happen there from someone else's perspective. But it's still really sweet in context.
You know, I'm glad you brought that scene up, because I think, you know, on-screen chemistry-wise, we've already talked about how great Pat Morita is. They do really well together. But I do think that it's not weird. Like, they do such a good job of the relationship dynamic between Mr. Miyagi and this, I don't know, what are we going to say, 17-year-old girl? 17? I don't know if they ever, like, Mr. Miyagi is a very old man by this point. Like, we're not, I think he dies in the early 2000s.
It sounds right.
Pat Morita, that is. So he's an older guy by this point for sure. And Hilary Swank is like a teenager. Go get your washcloth. Is a teenager by this point, but it's never like awkward or like overtly, you know, like, oh, this is a little risque. You know, you have the scene early on where Mr. Miyagi walks into her room like uninvited and she's like mid change taking off her shirt or something. And he's like, I am so sorry, you know, covering himself up, the whole thing. You know, you pointed out there in the dancing scene, like the windows are all open. There is so much room for the Holy Spirit between them. Like that was a Christian prom dancing moment right there. And even like early on when she is, you know, they're living together, he does make these jokes of like boys are easier, referring to like living with Daniel, how much easier it was because Daniel's another guy and living with a girl is a completely, you know, he opens the medicine cabinet and it's like this avalanche of makeup in there. But the joke isn't so much like, oh, girls, as it is Mr. Miyagi like understanding like, oh, I don't know this as well. Like there's like a humility aspect behind that joke, you know? So I thought they did a really, yeah, teacher needs to learn something. And that's not beneath Mr. Miyagi at all. Like, no, I thought how they presented their relationship throughout this movie was very tasteful, might be the best way to put it.
Yeah, I never once thought anything untoward would actually happen because I know the characters involved. I just know, like, if I were looking at this from outside, I'd go, hold on there. That's a little weird. But in context, it makes perfect sense. And it's so very sweet.
It is. It is very sweet. Because that is part of, like, the Miyagi character as it was built in the original trilogy of, like, being this father-grandfather-like figure for Daniel. I guess it would be a father for him as well. This father figure for him in the original movies and just continuing on now with that with I think her name, I don't even know. Is it Julie? It's not Susan. I can tell you that much.
Julie-san. Yeah. And it's also too. I had something else I was going to say and now I've lost it. Oh, why? Why am I getting old, Brandon?
It's all that schooling. Gotta like... get some stuff out now, man. I thought the fight scenes and the training montages were pretty good. It's the training montages are not, oh, you got it. I'll finish this thought and hold on to it. I thought the training montages weren't necessarily as like, you know, paint the fence, wax on, wax off. Like there was a lot less of that, but it was still like, I think it made sense how the fight scenes were shot, how the training was done. I think that's very, it was all very 90s, very 90s movie-esque, Three Ninjas-esque for how it was done. What was your thought since you grabbed it?
Going back to what we were talking about, it's not how they say it, but there's essentially the line is, you would have made a great girl dad. And I believe I think you would have made a perfect girl dad, you know, because he learns pretty quickly. But
he does.
With what you're saying there, the montages are done pretty well in this movie. There's the initial wax on, wax off. Says, I'm not doing that. Not even for the homework you want me to do. But then later on, it's part of the scene. It's not the main focus of ever doing it. So, you know, he doesn't like forget that technique just because it's a movie. There's still a practical application there.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes further. And sandbags in the barn, are also, mm-hmm. they're funny, but they're also instructive. It's like, her Luke with the helmet over her head moment of can you sense
before it
comes, and that does show up in the final fight to an extent because she gets what mud or something thrown in her face by generic bad guy. Generic bad guy 210 of this movie. 90210 since this is the time era. And it works perfectly, and it's built up off of this montage. And you need a montage. I mean, there's a reason that's the song.
Oh yeah,
from South Park. You got to have a montage.
You got to have a montage for sure. I thought the final fight, not only was it was good. Nothing. I don't know if I was to pick like an iconic final fight in this franchise. To me, it has to be either the second or honestly the third movie. I think the final fight with Mike is really good. I did like how this one kind of takes a page out of the Rocky V playbook. Forget the ring. We're going to the street. This is a street fight. And that's different, at least. I like how the original trilogy, each one, they particularly with the sequels, they follow the tropes, but they're all pretty independent stories, you could say. They bounce off of each other, for sure, but they're pretty original stories. And they find ways to add in some originality in each one. I thought, okay, we're going to change it here. It's a street fight here at the end of the fight, or at the end of the movie. Sure, why not? There was never any kind of, like, tournament fighting anything in this at all, so why not?
Now, this is where the movie loses its goddamn mind. At the very you have generic boyfriend 90210 facing off against generic bad guy 90210. His car blows up.
Yeah, that was not then neither.
Then instead of we don't have our sweep the leg moment, we have our finish him moment here. It's like, get over here, let me just rip you apart and kick you and kill you. And they're also like kind of hinting that you can kill her too when she shows up. I'm like, hold on, we've gone off the rails. This is about proving something, question mark, and now it's about murder.
Yes.
You lost me along the way, but we ended up at the ending somehow.
Yeah, still with a Mr. Miyagi wink at the camera. We still got our wink there to wrap things up. It's been so long since I've seen the Jackie Chan one. I'm going to have to be very vigilant to see if there is a wink at the, I cannot remember. And now I'm going to, my whole purpose for watching that movie now is to see, is there a wink? That has to go on the, it is a Karate Kid movie if list, like I had at the beginning.
I need to watch that movie, number one, because if anything, it's going to be way more terrible than this, from what I understand.
Yeah. It's not good.
And I saw the trailer when I was at the movies to see Thunderbolts, which is actually way better than I expected. Side note. For the new Karate Kid movie, it's like, okay, I can get behind this. And I haven't watched any of Cobra Kai, but it sounds great.
I've seen bits and pieces along the way, people talking about stuff, and I'll go, like, check it out. And I think I saw some of season one as well. I don't know how much Cobra Kai is going to play into the story of the newest movie. If anything, it's the fact that Daniel is running a studio now. It seems like the main purpose of this new one is to connect the Jackie Chan movie. I don't know if they've actually ever connected the next Karate Kid into the storyline proper, other than the connecting point of Mr. Miyagi. I don't know if Hilary Swank has shown up in Cobra Kai. I don't think she has.
From what I understand, looking just briefly at TV Tropes, which is a bad place to go if you need to waste your time, which I have plenty of time to waste now. It's...
Yeah!
kind of, sort of mentioned. She's never mentioned by name, but it's mentioned that Miyagi had another student, which is kind of their way of saying it's okay. Her. So, as far as I understand it, she's never mentioned by name. She never shows up physically, but there's
gotcha.
A mention.
Yeah, I don't know who's trying harder to connect all the dots. Dave Filoni with Star Wars, these guys with Karate Kid, or whoever is in charge with Scream, because they are trying so hard to make those movies all fit together.
Oh, of course.
Hey. I loved this message, though, of all life is worth respecting. I loved that.
Okay. I agree with the premise. But if there's ever a cockroach heading my way towards my meal, that's like he's dead.
Like, well, that's fair. I respect you enough to kill you.
Like, say, look, there is a spider right now in my room. I don't like spiders one bit, but you know what that spider does? It kills other bugs. So as long as it stays in its lane and I stay in my lane, we can coexist. But if you end up on this desk, you're going to get squatted.
Did you catch that when right before the monks come in with the birthday cake that she goes, I'm so sorry, Mr. Miyagi. It was out of habit that I killed the spider in my room. Like, she was confessing something in that moment.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, cockroaches are kind of on my kill list as well. But I, I, I did not find all this. I did not find this stuff with the Falcon to be cheesy as at all. I thought that was really cool that they were kind of had this metaphor going throughout it.
Yeah. But once again, screenwriting 101, they have the scene where she rushes out of the house. She's an angsty teenager. Like, she doesn't care about anything, but no, actually she does care about something. And it's this poor Hawk that had done nothing wrong. She's caring for it. So, you know, they're playing on the heartstrings, but there could have been a way to prepare that better. But at the end of the day, the core of what they want you to get is that there is more to this young woman, like, than just being an angsty teen. And the whole scene of her letting the Hawk go and being willing to fly was pretty well done too. And even it returning to it, it's like, yeah, it's cheesy, but it works.
You know, with Daniel and Mr. Miyagi, it was all about the bonsai, right? That's like the big. So could they have just done the bonsai again? Maybe. Maybe she could have had a thing for small trees as well. But she has her own. She has her own thing, and it's not even necessarily directly tied to Mr. Miyagi either. She or he embraces it and uses that as a teaching tool as well. So who knows? Maybe if they ever do fully bring her in, she could be, you know, have her own brand of Miyagi-Do karate, and their thing is falcons. Who knows? Daniel's got trees. She's got falcons. They still go together. Yeah. Although a falcon probably can't rest on a bonsai tree. But, you know, don't think about it. If there's anything we've learned from these movies, is don't think about it too long.
There's a willing suspension of disbelief you've got to take going into these films. They're not going to ask too much of you, but they're going to ask you something. You got to give up something to watch them.
And that's you know, that's why I've always had a hard time with the Transformers franchise, because to me, that's asking a lot. I'm sorry, people who love Transformers. But there's just something about Transformers that, for me personally, I like that first Shia LaBeouf movie. But outside of that, it is too much of a, it's too big of an ask. What's going on in the Karate Kid films? Huh, what was that?
Did a definition turn your brain off to accept what's happening on the screen?
Yes, yes. I feel about Transformers how some people feel about any Spider-Man movie that Sony makes that doesn't have Spider-Man in it. So the Venom, Morbius, all those movies. Yeah, I still haven't seen Kraven the Hunter. I heard no one did, though. Nobody saw it. Nobody watched that movie.
Nope. Certainly not me.
Any final thoughts on the next Karate Kid here, Christian? I feel like we've covered it well. But yeah, any last thoughts here?
Like I said, this is not a perfect film. But if you got some people, they love the Karate Kid movies, they want to see what's next in line, you bring them together, have some fun, order some pizza, have your Kung Fu pizza party there, watch this goofy bonkers movie, and have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun. Still the third best, in my opinion. And we'll see how Jackie Chan fares in the next. Not well. It's not. It's a battle for third place is what we have going here. It's a battle for third place. And we'll see how our journey ends here pretty soon. We're almost at Karate Kid Legends. So we'll see how the newest edition is going to fare in the lineup for me as well. But thank you, Christian, for taking time. Well, you're a free man now, so thank you for just hanging out with me for a little bit. It does look like we have gone over on time, so yes, listeners, I do definitely promise now to learn the kata that Hilary Swank does here, Two Dreams by the Cranberries. I will do that and post it happily, because I loved that scene so much. You could catch Christian on all kinds of podcasts here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, Systematic Geekology, Why I Don't Like, Friday Night Frights, Let Nothing Move You. Am I forgetting one? Is that all of them?
Who knows? Who knows at this point? Yeah.
Who knows at this point?
Back to Why I Don't Like eventually, I swear. Now that I have more free time, I can probably do it. So, yes.
Friday Night Frights, though, if you need a little bit of spooky content, I did just listen to the episode you guys did on Aleister Crowley. Although the entire time I'm picturing Victor Crowley in my mind, so that was fun. But yeah, that's a really great one if you all need some spooky content. If spooky season is a year-round season for you, as it should be, definitely check out Friday Night Frights. And you can follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party. You can follow us on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY, and check out the YouTube channel, Studio 219. It's a sister channel to Anazao Ministries Podcast Network. Sister channel for more faith and pop culture content. Thank you all for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where we've delivered high-flying action for sure. Just like that mantis kick that Hilary Swank learned. We delivered, not in 30 minutes, but we delivered it and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.